Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. We have a bunch of new fun stuff lined up right now. We have a new product that just came out. It is the Tom Davis No Bad Dogs Calming Peanut Butter. So it has CBD-infused peanut butter that we collabed with a local peanut butter company. We also have our new lick mat, which you can buy in a kit, and basically it's just really good to keep dogs busy. You can stick that lick mat on a window and they can work on that for a while. So I'm really excited about that. Also, this podcast is a really great podcast for somebody who really just doesn't have an understanding for what they need to do to be successful. So as I always say, and as you guys know, I do a lot of these online and I only put out the ones I think that are going to be really helpful and aren't super redundant for you guys. So it's a great podcast for you guys to listen to about, hey, these are the goals I want. And it's like, hey, let's take a step back and really look at the reality here and audit what we actually have instead of getting frustrated to say, I want this. And then my job and my profession is to say, well, wait a minute. You don't have anything that you need to be successful or to reach those goals. So let's make a roadmap here and figure it out. So I hope that this is helpful for you guys. Thank you for listening. A couple more podcasts coming up this week, and we're lining up some really great guests. If you guys have any guests that you would want to see on my podcast, professionals in the dog space in general, not trainers, just people who are working with dogs that can help you guys educate, somebody that you'd like to see me talk to, DM me on Instagram at Tom Davis, and we're looking for more guests this year. And our goal is to get a guest on every single month or maybe more. So hopefully you guys have some people that you would recommend, and DM me if you do, and enjoy the podcast. What's going on?
So I wanted to talk to you about my dog. So my dog is a German Shepherd / Husky, and he's been good with the family, but when it comes to other people, he's not very friendly. And we're trying to train him because he already bit one of my neighbors, son. So we're trying to get him more to be obedient.
Okay. What have you done so far with training?
So he knows how to sit, give me his paw, knows how to give high five. He knows those commands. He knows he's potty trained. He knows how to go outside, use the bathroom, pretty much those things. But more when visitors come, we have to lock him up because it's just the barking, and he will keep barking and barking and barking and biting. So we just lock him up in a cage.
Okay. So there's some obedience that you should start focusing on, and a couple of them we'll go over. So recall, getting the dog to come back to you when you tell him to. So telling him to come. The downstay is really helpful. So when you tell him to down and stay, he should down and then stay in any position that he's in, no matter what he's doing. And then the leave it is for the barking. So when he's habitually barking at your neighbors or anybody else, you can just say leave it. And those are the three things that you're going to be utilizing when you're out with him. Because if he doesn't like new people, that's maybe his personality and he just doesn't like new people. There's not much you could do about that. But what you can do is you can manage it through obedience. And it doesn't sound like you have good obedience right now, and that's why you're getting into problems with him. So
yeah.
So it would be the recall. So if he's out and somebody comes over, or if he got off leash, or if you're in the yard or whatever is going on, telling him to come back. And then the downstay, the advanced downstay. Whenever you have a dog that is can bite and will, you really want to make sure that you're downstay is super clean. So being able to, if he's out anywhere in any circumstance, just saying his name and telling him to downstay on the spot is like game changing. And then the leave it is when he's barking at whoever. So you're out for a walk, he starts barking, you have somebody over, he starts barking, you're whatever the circumstances are, he starts barking, you tell him to leave it. What questions do you have on that?
Basically my question, like, I don't know much about, like,
how to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, so like some days, like, he would bark at like neighbors, but then other days he won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll walk you through all of these behaviors and how to advance them. So let's just say for the recall. So a lot of this, first of all, is going to be on the leash. So a lot of people don't put their dogs on the leash, especially when they're in the house. Like if you have somebody come over and your dog is barking, a lot of people, what they do is they just manage the dog through body pressure, or they just yell at the dog, or they put the dog away, which is, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing, it's just not going to help you. So let's say, for an example, like, you have to, let's start with the recall. So what you'll do is you'll get like a long leash, and because you want to make it realistic. If he's standing right next to you, it's not going to be a realistic recall. He's not, that doesn't, in his head, he's like, I'm already right next to you. So you'll be like, hey, dog, come. He's like, I'm right here. So,
yeah.
So what you would do is you would get a longer line, let him off the longer line, and you would say his name and tell him to come. So you'd say his name, tell him to come. And if he didn't, you would pop the collar. And when he came to you, then you would reward him. But basically right now, like, you have to build up your foundation, which a lot of dog owners, and you might fall under this too, is like, we teach dogs how to do very basic things for food, like the sit, the roll over, the paw, blah, blah, blah. But if we can't apply, like, let's say for an example, you had somebody come over and you said sit, he's probably not going to sit because he's overly stimulated and you haven't worked on developing the advancements, right? So telling your dog to sit and stay when there's people around or other distractions takes practice. So there's levels to obedience, like, just like there is with everything in life that we do. Doesn't matter if you're racing cars, working out, saving money. It's like, there's levels to this game, and you're going to start here and you're going to keep getting better and better and better. And then eventually you're going to be able to do what, you know, I can do with my dogs. They're out running around, down, stay. Now the garbage truck can go by, other dogs could walk by, kids could go by on bikes, and they're still staying. So to your point, what you said in the beginning is you're not trying to necessarily have him be friends with the people he's barking at, although that would be an easy goal. It's just probably not likely. You're trying to manage what's mm-hmm. going on, right? So
he's like he's trying to be protective. Yeah. And I know that, like, he's trying to protect us. And so, but I just want to manage it, like,
right. Yeah.
And just being able, like, okay, enough with the yelling, enough with the, like, I just don't want him to bark. Like, I know, like, I tell my friends, I warn my friends, like, you know, my dog can bite you, please, like, don't pet my dog. And then, like, they will try to, like, pet my dog, and I warn them. And then, like, he tries, like, he will sniff them out at first and then start, like, trying to bite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I warned you, I told you not to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, we take him to a daycare. We tried to take him to a daycare, and the owner was like, it's okay. Like, I can manage him. And so when we took him to the daycare, he ended up biting the trainer. So then he was like, oh yeah, he's not capable to be in daycare. So, like, when we go on vacation, the trouble is finding him a place to, like, stay.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Have you ever corrected, let's say he's barking at your friends in your house, outside of you telling them, hey, don't approach my dog, he'll bite you, and they do it anyway. I mean, that's a different conversation. What do you do? Like, how do you handle that? Let's say I came to your house right now, he started barking at me. Like, I know that you said you put him away, but, like, what else, what other stuff do you do?
So usually my parents are more, like, with my dog, because he's at my parents' house. But But when we have guests over, like, my dad will, like yell at him, like, hey, stop doing that. Like, stop. Like, enough. But, like, he would just keep barking and barking until, like, he gets tired of barking. And then he just goes away. But then, like, if he sees you, like, present, he starts again with the barking.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. I would, like I said, we might not be able to change the way he feels about other people. But what we can do is we can stop him from barking. And that's a lot of... It's a lot of what dog training is. So what I would do is put him on a leash and a collar and start working on leave it. So instead of just saying random stuff, stop, don't, you're annoying, quit barking. You want to work on a singular thing. It's not, there is no shortcuts there. It's like, I want to lose 30 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, these are the things you have to do to get there. Whatever it is, right? It's really important that you put him on the leash and start practicing these things. So you put him on the leash and a collar and he starts barking. You tell him to leave it and you correct him. It's right there. It's assertive, right? You're handling it when it happens directly. Mm-hmm. And so he's sitting there going, there's people here. What do I do? And he's nervous. And you just snap the leash and you say, hey, stop. And he stops barking. You say, good, leave it. Right? So that's what you have to do right now. It's like a circus. Somebody comes over and he's barking. Your parents are yelling. You're yelling. It's just this whole chaos.
Yeah, like a simulation.
Yeah, and he's off leash. So whenever you're asking a dog to do something off leash, if you don't have off leash obedience, you can't get it. Like, you're not going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people just think when your dog, having your dog listen to you off leash is an advanced step. Like, you have to advance to that point. So if I were just a fly in the room, somebody came over, your dog starts barking. If anybody, doesn't matter who it is telling them to stop. If you don't have that advanced level obedience, he's not going to do it. He's never comprehended the leave it command or stop from that distance. So you have to start from the ground up. You have to put him on the leash and practice. So that means, hey, if somebody who, I don't know your living situation, but it's like, hey, go around back or go outside, come ring the doorbell, come knock on the door, act like you're somebody else. And then you take the leash and you tell them to leave it and you start that process. It's not as helpful to just, let's wait for somebody to come over once a week and work on the leave it. You should be working on it as much as you can throughout the day. Just sneak somebody outside, whoever is in your house, go around, knock on the door. You don't even have to come in, and then go back around, right? And your dog's going to go, somebody's here. Ring the doorbell, whatever. And you just start working on these leave its, and you start correcting him, right? So think about a correction. A kid says, win, W-I-G-N. Nope, it's W-I-N, right? Like, you're correcting. That's wrong. This is right. So that's how you would start doing that.
Yeah. I also noticed, like, I have another dog. So my other dog is she's a beagle. So she's very friendly. She doesn't, like, yell. Like, she doesn't bite. Mm-hmm. So she's very friendly. So we will also have to put her away because if he noticed, like, she's out and it's, like, more like a jealousy thing. Like, he doesn't like when they give her more of the attention. So it's more like he will start, like, acting up on that as well. He also is, like, when we take him out to go eat and he goes use the bathroom, playtime outside in the backyard, when we try to bring him out, like, inside, he would just keep running and running and running. And then, or, like, he will lay on the floor and not go back inside. So those are, like, little things that we're trying to work on as well.
Yeah, and that's all that is recall. So your recall isn't good enough. Like, when you tell him to come, he's like, I'm not ready to come in. I'm going to keep playing. So mm-hmm. so those are the, like I said, you got to get back down to the basics. Like, dog owners that I speak with, like, we can talk about all the exterior symptoms, the problems, right? Well, he barks at the neighbors. He doesn't come in when we tell him to come in. Blah, blah. Like, we can literally list off 20 things that you could really think about that really frustrates you throughout the day. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the same answer, is you don't have the skill sets to ask the dog those things, right? So for an example, same exact thing we just talked about with leave it. Somebody comes over, he's off leash. You've never worked on leave it in his life. And what you want him to do off leash is to stop barking. And it's not, it's never going to be a quick fix. It's never going to be, oh, just tell him to stop or just touch him here and he's just going to stop. There's a reason why it's happening, which is a more advanced thing, but it's the same exact thing with the recall. Hey, Tom, my dog's outside. I want him to come in, and he just plays games. He plays tag. He just runs around the yard. I try to go get him. He play bows me. Boop, darts the other way. That's a recall thing. So he doesn't want to come in because he's a dog, and he'd rather be outside than inside. Obviously, that's where they want to spend their time is outside running around playing. So when you tell him to come, he's like, nah, I don't want to. But you don't have – so again, your dog is off leash outside, which are – those are level – so the highest level of obedience is level 3. Those are level 3 asks, right? So we're outside, squirrels, chipmunks, other dogs, neighbors, birds, everything's outside. So there's one level 3 concept, and then we're asking him to come off leash. So it's the same thing. So here's what I would focus on, and I understand what you're saying. Like here's where, because I'm a dog owner well before I was a professional, so I understand what you're saying, is you want answers to, well, when my dog's barking, how do we get him to stop barking? When my dog play bows me and thinks it's a game to run around the backyard, what do I do with that? When my dog goes to bite the neighbor, what do I do with that? When my dog goes to pull on the leash, what do I do with that? We can list, you know, 20 things, right? But it's going to be the same thing. It's like, okay, you have an animal. They're running outside having the time of your life. You're going to basically call them in to put them in a crate. How's your recall? It's like, yeah, I've never really worked on that. Can't do it then. Hey, my dog doesn't like new people. He's protective over the family. Kid goes running by. My dog takes off. How's your recall? Yeah, we've never worked on that. Kid came over to our yard, came over to the house. My dog freaked out. How's your down? How's your stay? How's your leave it? That doesn't exist either. So I totally understand it. And it is the right way to think about, like, I want to stop these things. I want to stop these behaviors. It's like, yeah, there's, you know, but I just want you to know, like, the way that you're going to accomplish those goals is to stop giving the dog so much freedom with those high level and distractions. So again, there he goes off leash and you're like, oh, he doesn't like the neighbor kid next door. Neighbor kid comes out. And you got to ask yourself, what do I want my dog to do right now? Oh, I don't want him to bite the kid. Okay, well, he doesn't like the kid. And that's his way of showing that. So that's really not an option. What other option do you have? Well, if he was next to me, I could protect the kid. Well, how's your recall? Again, doesn't exist. Or like for me, like I said, if I'm out, I live in like a cul-de-sac. And if my dogs are out playing and I see another person or another dog, down, stay. I'll sit there. I'll do an email as somebody comes around my cul-de-sac and gets out of there. And I tell my dogs, break, boom. You'd be like, wow, that would be a dream. But that isn't a product of, it's multiple products of teaching the dog the down and the stay through advancement. So I guess my answer to you is, anything that you have that you're having a hard time with, mm-hmm. and this may be frustrating, and I hate to be redundant and say the same thing, but it's going to be countered with, you know, the obedience aspect of I'm having a hard time. It would be like, and like I said, anything in life. It's like I can't ride a bike. I want to do 20 miles on the bike today, and I'm like, how's your basics? You're like, well, I can't reach the pedals. And I'm like, you can't, there's no way you're running 20 miles on this bike when you don't even know how to get on the thing. That's how I just want you to know, like, from my perspective as a professional, that's mm-hmm. that's really what this is for me. I'm like, well, this, none of this is going to add up. So going back to what you were saying before, it's like, okay, that makes sense. How do you start working on these things now? Leave it. Sorry, my dog is trying to. So again, for an example, like my dog right now, he went from his bone that he's supposed to be chewing on to my little rug here that I have. So I say leave it, he stops. So this is a perfect example in real time. I can't stop because he's a silly, stupid puppy, to be honest. I can't stop him from not wanting to chew the rug because he's like, I'm bored and I'm teething and or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I can do is I can say, leave it. So again, neighbor kid comes over, your dog goes, I don't like that kid. He's not part of my family. You might not be able to change that. But what you can do is say, dog, come, sit, stay. Just like I just did. I can't stop you from wanting to chew on the carpet because you're bored, because I'm working, but I can say leave it. So I really want you to focus on the basics of recall, which is getting the dog back to you, no matter the circumstance, the down, the stay, and the leave it. So you have to really work on those things, because that's going to be the answer to a lot of the problems you're having.
Yeah, that's what me and my parents are working on with him, is giving him treats and like trying to challenge him mentally, because I try to do like my research on like Husky and German Shepherd, and I know like his Husky side is very playful, like he wants to play, and then I know like his German side, like he's very, very smart.
Protective.
Like we play hide and seek with him, and protective as well, so we play hide and seek with him, like he smells, he's able to find us, things like that. So we've been trying to like work with him every single day with that, and then going on walks with him to tire him out.
Yeah, that's good. Those are going to be things that you could do in conjunction with the other training. So like all that stuff's good. So he has the ability to engage with you and play with you and find you and all that stuff. But you got to work on the things that are actually going to matter when it matters, right? So when he's reactive towards other people, when he's not coming back out leash and he's or off leash in your backyard, like those. So like, you know what I mean? Like don't, it's good that you're doing those other things, the walking, the play, the engagement, the mental stimulation, that's all good, but it's not going to help you when he starts barking at the neighbor kid. What's going to help you then is a good leave it, an understanding of leave it. So that's what I would really be focusing on if I were you, is like, if you have a protective dog who doesn't like other people, again, you may not be able to change that in his personality, but your responsibility and the answer to your frustration of like, what am I going to do with this dog? Like, I can't have people over, and when I do, it's stressful. The dog's barking. My parents are screaming at the... It's like, you got to start working on those basic things. It's like, if you were to call me and say, hey, Tom, my dog's pulling me down the... My dog loves everybody. He's the best dog in the world, but he's dragging me down the road because he's huge. It'd be so what you want as an owner is like, I want the dog to stop pulling me. And I'm like, well, you can't just stop that because your dog has four legs and they're going to pull. You don't need to stop your dog from pulling. You need to teach your dog how to walk nicely, which is the heel command. Right. So I just want you to look at dog training with that lens moving forward, that anything in your head that you think about, like he knows sit. When nothing's going on, right? We can play hide and seek. He's super smart. We bring him on walks. We let him play. You're just not addressing the problems you're having, which is when I tell him to stop barking, he won't, no matter what I say, right? You have to put him away, right? I can see it because I've been doing it for so long. I can see the process in which you go, you grab him by his collar, he's barking, you put him into the crate. Like, it's this whole thing. But if you were to just say, come, crate, boom, like imagine that somebody comes over and he barks, which you're not trying to take away the bark, you're trying to minimize the barking and the duration of it. So he barks and he says, ah, somebody's here, what do we do? And you go, oh, it's just my friend, go to your crate, go to your bed, stay. You know, like those are the things that, so does this make sense?
What questions being, you know, comforting in his, so with him, okay, so I've been thinking about putting him in, like, training, in your training. I was looking at your page for the training.
Yeah.
'Cause we are going on vacation soon, so we were thinking about putting him in training and still doing the in-home training as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, he's very smart. He's a smart dog. And I was thinking about putting him, like, I don't know, like, in advanced training, because I want him to be, like, a TA, TSA dog, mm-hmm. like an airport dog. So like he can be working like with his mental and stuff like that and then still be playful. Because I feel like at home he's very bored. And I feel like with those dogs, like he has to be like doing a lot of things. And I don't know, like what's your input on that?
A couple things. I would say, when you say TSA, do you mean like, what do you mean by that?
I don't want to say like put him to work, but just like I've been looking around and I've been seeing like, you know, when you go to the airport,
yeah,
like you see like the officers with dogs and then they're able to sniff out substances and stuff like that. So he's very smart. He's like, I just want to put that to use.
Yeah. I would just say like put what you need to put to use is like he's got to have a foundation, and right now he does not have a foundation. So again, right. like it's good that you have ambitions to advance him and his training and his mental stimulation. That's what you should be doing. Yes, but like so again, from a professional standpoint, it's like you're like, hey, I want my dog to be able to sniff a narcotic or anything, doesn't matter what it is, right? Dinosaur bones, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, you have to have foundation. Like that's here, right? So that's like, I'm going to, my relationship with my dog to train him to be able to literally sniff out something. You can't not have good basics. So right now, if I came into your house and I said, put your dog in a sit, you wouldn't be able to do it. That's like, that's here. That's the most basic level, entry level thing that you can ask your dog. So I like I like where you're at up here. It's like, this is where I want to be. But what I'm saying is you have a lot of work to do to get to that point. So, and I don't want you to, so that's that on that, like search type thing. But then the board and train type aspect is good too. But like the board and train, so you have two things going on, is you don't have good foundation, but there's also like a relationship thing that's probably going on as well, which those two usually talk to each other a lot, which means your dog is finding reasons to become protective because of maybe how you're handling the dog or how you're treating the dog or how you're not, I don't know. There's a lot of things that we need to look into that. But my point is when you do a board and train, what we do is we really strip the dog down to their basics, start building up their basics, but then you have to go home and,
you know,
put it to work too, because you know you need to make sure that when you are doing this.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Again, like, It's the same thing, right? So it's like this whole format you and I have right now. It's like, I want to get this. I want my dog to not go after other kids. I want my dog to come back when called. I want my dog to stop barking off leash. And I want to do scent detection work. And I'm like, you can't get here.
If we're not, yeah.
You got, so like for an example, and if you watch my YouTube videos, you'll see this like clockwork. Somebody comes in with a behavioral problem. Right? Come in, hey, here's my dog. He doesn't like new people. He's growling, he's barking, his hackles are up, he's lunging, whatever. I'm like, okay. So that's an advanced problem here. Like, we have to change how your dog emotionally and physically responds to stimulation, to new people, to new environments, whatever. I'm like, let's go out here. I want you to heal your dog. Just put your dog in a heel from here to here. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you say, dog, heel. And he just blows on by. And I'm like, you see what I'm saying? So like, you want to change this, but you don't have this, bottom line. So again, it's the same thing. And I think like for me, that is the secret formula here. Again, I am grateful for the position I'm in my professional career to be able to travel the world and help people with their dogs. But the secret to my success, every seminar I get eight dogs that are all reactive, and by the end of, in 48 hours, they're all sleeping in group. How? It's that. People come in, they go, hey, here's my external problem. Here's my symptoms. I hate this. I'm like, well, I know that you don't like this, but this isn't your problem. Your problem is because you don't have a foundation with your dog. Very rarely does somebody come in with a behavioral problem that has good obedience. It's very rare. So that tells me, there's evidence that says my reactivity is likely because I don't have a good foundation. So I really would suggest having the mindset of not trying not to find a, and I know you're not, so I don't, what I'm trying to say is I know you're not looking for a quick fix, but what I'm trying to say is try in your head to stop looking for a, how do I stop this stuff I don't like? Two things is it's coming from someplace. There's a reason why it's happening. And if you don't have the basic foundation to stop it, it's not going to stop. It's like, again, it's like, man, I want to compete like Lance Armstrong in the Tour de France next year. That's what I want to do. I'm like, okay, how long have you been riding? You're like, I haven't started yet. I'm like, you want to let go to the most elite thing possible, but you don't even know how to ride a bike. I'm like, that's not going to work. You're going to fail. Yeah. So the things I would be working on that you must have in order to be successful in any of your ambitions with your dog is the basics. Recall, come back, go to your place, stay, and heal is the other one, and break. But so those are the things you have, and I can roll through those things, but I want to make sure like your head's in the right space and you understand what I'm saying, because you can talk to 100 different trainers, and if you say, hey, you know, I want my dog to stop barking, and I want my dog to stop running around the yard and come when I say come, it's like, well, you have to work on those things. There's nobody has a magic wand to just be like, oh, well, this is all you need to do. Boop, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's a step-to-step thing.
Down. Yeah. It's, and again, it's like, I think as a dog owner.
And I've been like researching, looking for things like to kind of just correct him. And so I wanted to get your opinion on like a shock collar. Cause I don't know, to me, like a lot of trainers says they're very useful, but yeah. No, to me it's like iffy because I don't really want to shock my dog.
Yeah. So you have to have the right education on that. So the idea about a remote collar or an e-collar and using modern technology to condition a dog is you're not putting that piece of equipment on a dog, and if they don't listen, you correct them with it. Like that's not, you could do that. Some people do that. Even trainers do that, but that's really not the purpose of the modern e-collar training. So when you're doing modern remote collar training, it's the same thing. So if you put an e-collar on your dog and you start correcting, what are you correcting him for? He has no idea. He's barking, you nail him for it. And he's like, what the hell did I do? He doesn't know why, because you haven't taught him. So like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you might be able to stop him from, but what's not to say that if you use the remote collar to correct a dog when they're doing a behavior, that they don't associate that kid that they're barking at now with the remote collar, and now they don't like him even more. Because that's how you start getting into bad situations. The goal is to teach the dog that the e-collar is, first of all, the e-collar is conditioned in to basics, which you don't have. So it's again, same format, same principle. You can't put in the advanced e-collar training because it's an extension of your basics. So basic obedience, e-collar training. You can't go from here to here. And that's where, again, like your head keeps, which is good. It's good to talk about because it'll really, because if you're having unrealistic things up here and that you're going to be really frustrated, you're like, man, I can't believe I lost the Tour de France. I just started last week. You know, it's like, I want to do remote collar training, but if you slap an e-collar on the dog and you start correcting him for all sorts of stuff, I'm not saying it's not going to stop some of the behavior you want, but it's really like a Band-Aid. I mean, I have an e-collar in my hand right now. Like, I'm all about remote collars. But I would just suggest that when you're doing the remote collar, to understand that to really build, in my experience, the healthiest relationship with the remote caller, it's an extension of you. It's not the thing. Like, oh, you're being bad, I'm going to go get your e-collar. Like, when you tell your dog to leave it, they should be listening to you, not the remote caller. The remote caller at some point is going to be an enforcer to your voice. But if your dog, like, let's say I said, come, and the dog doesn't know recall that well. Like, you haven't practiced it, but you got an e-collar. So you're like, oh, well, I can touch my dog from here and I can turn it up and the dog doesn't like it. Well, if you said come, the dog's like, what the hell's that? And then they get corrected from the remote caller, they might run away for two reasons. They don't know recall and they don't know what this thing is. So for me, the way that I do remote caller training is I condition it on low levels, so it's not punitive at all. So I ask, it's classical conditioning. I am using the remote caller stimulation at a low level in conjunction with my basics. I'm sending the dog to the place. I'm recalling the dog. I'm sitting the dog. Because you don't have that foundation, the only way that you would really be able to use the remote caller right now is in a punitive measure. You put it on the dog. If they don't listen or they do something you don't like, they get corrected. And it won't be very long before the dog sees the remote caller and just fights you. Like, I don't want this thing on. So I love where your head's at. I love that you're seeking these advanced things. It's just I would urge you and encourage you, like, do it the right way. Like, for me, and like, if you were standing in front of me and we had a weekend to work, I would be able to really open up your relationship with your dog at a much deeper core, like a much deeper just much deeper than what you're doing right now. Like, I want you to have a healthier relationship. So, like, you know, when we're talking online, it's tough to see what's going on with your whole relationship. But, like, working with the trainer that like, I can tell you right now that your dog is barking and protected for a reason. Outside of maybe having German Shepherd in them, there's probably some relationship things that you're doing that I could really, not just me, there's other trainers too, but I would be focusing heavily on your relationship and your basic training instead of just saying, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is when I want to stop. It's like, okay, well, you know, you got to get to here first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because my dad and my mom spend most of the days with the dogs, and I just come on, like, on the weekends. And I feel like, I don't know if that's where it messed up, because I was the one who originally, like, had him. But I gave it to my parents because he's a big dog, so I feel like he deserves to be, you know, in a backyard, and I don't live in a backyard. I live, like, in an apartment. So I don't know if that's where, like, the foundation he's having trouble with, because I used to have him and now, like, my mom and dad.
Well, it could be.
And, like, most of the days, like, in the morning, my mom and dad are not home. So, like, they take him out in the morning, they eat, they use the bathroom for, like, an hour, and then they come back home. Like, they come back inside, and then in the evening, they go back out when they come back from work. So we're trying to find, like, what could it be? Is it, like, he don't know who to listen to? I noticed that he listens more to my dad than, like, anybody else, but then it falls under me, because then it's, like, my dad, me, and then the rest he don't really pay attention to.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me that they're taking him out for, you know, to go to the potty and for some exercise, but the training still isn't happening.
Right.
So that's why things are not going to get better, and that's why he's not listening to anybody great. He may listen to your dad better because your dad may be handling him the most, but still at the same time, it's like, you know, it's the same thing I was saying, is like, you got to work on your, you still got to work. Yeah, you got to work on your training, because it's like what you were saying is like, well, on the weekends, I come and hang out with the dog, and maybe that's why things aren't getting better. But in my head, I'm also like, well, also, like, how much work are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, if you're hanging out with the dog on the weekend, but you're not training, like, you're not actively training, then, you know, why would you get better? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like I do jujitsu. So if I were to go to the mats every single day, but just sit there and talk to all the other guys hanging around, like I'm not going to get any better at martial arts. Like you got to actually, you got to put in the work, right? So it's the same thing. Like if you're just going to the house on the weekend just to get some attention from the dog and hang out with the dog, which is great. Again, there's like this devil's advocate that goes on with you and your relationship with your dog. It's like, but you also have to make sure that you're putting in the work, like putting a slip leash. Like I would just put a slip leash on them. Start with your thresholds. So you go to a door, you tell him to sit. And if he sits, you're going to grab the door and he's going to pop up and you're going to put him back into a sit. And he can't go through that door until he sits. You open the door and you break him through. Like that's like the very first step where I would start.
Do you reward him for like?
Yeah, of course. If he does good. So sequence will be like this. Put your slip leash on, which is like the most basic leash pressure tool that you can use, especially inside. It's a safe option. You go to a door and he's like, I'm going to go through the door because that's what we do at thresholds. Like that door opens, I go out of it, right? So what you're doing is you're stepping in and you're like, it's thresholds, right? You can't do the thing you think you're going to do unless I give you permission, which means I'm in the driver's seat. You have to, just like, you know, a respect thing with your parents. I'm sure it's like when we were younger, it's like, can I do this? Can I do that? You don't just do it. It's for our safety. And of course it's like out of respect, like you have to give me permission for that. Right. So it's like you go to the door, dog sit, he puts his butt in the ground. You grab the door. If he gets up, pressure's back on. And you just, and sometimes it takes a while. Like it takes a while to really, cause they're not used to any type of roadblock. They're used to doing what they want, when they want. Something pops in their head, they go. Mm-hmm. And that's how dogs become protective. That's how dogs can become fearful. It's because what ends up happening is they go, I love my family, you and whoever else is in the immediate family. But I don't feel like these guys know what they're doing, right? There's no reason for the dog to be like, you're a great leader. You provide me with structure, discipline, accountability, love, affection. Like it's really one-sided. Hey, man, I love you. All right, got to go back home. Or, you know, your parents, if your dog does something bad, they're just hollering and screaming. Nothing is real clear to the dog. So that's like a deeper dive, but that's probably also why the dog is the way he is in the first place, is because of your overall like ethos with the dog, the relationships with the dog. But yeah, you go up, you put him in a sit, he sits, yes, you pay him, good sit. You open the door, he still sits and looks at you and says, is it okay? You pay him, and then you say break, and you break the dog through. Most people can't do that, but that is the easiest, most fundamental thing that you could possibly do with any dog on how to like reset your relationship or to audit your relationship. And that's what I would tell you is like, you want to test your relationship. You want to plug in, you want to audit your relationship, see where you're at with your dog. Put your dog on a leash, go to a door that he goes in and out of all day, and see if he stays when you open the door. If your dog doesn't, you probably need some work. If your dog does, you're probably in good shape. Your dog respects you, respects boundaries, listens to you, and waits for permission to do things. That's a healthy relationship. And right now, like, if you don't have that, like, again, that is the, it's like, man, I want to speak another language. I'm like, what, can you say your ABCs? It's like, no, I don't know English. It's like, okay, well, we got to start there. Because I can't teach you something, you know what I mean? So that's a good way to start.
Like the other day, I had because he knows like sit, palm, high five, like he knows how to do that. So the other day, like I was trying new techniques. So I was trying to do the stay with him. So I told him like sit. He sat, and then I was like stay, and then I kept moving backwards, but then he kept moving forward. So then I kept like repeating it, like, you're not going to get the reward if you're not listening. But then like, you know, he don't care. Then he will like turn around, then he will look at my dad and then just like go to my dad.
Yeah.
And then like, no, you got to come back to me.
Yeah.
Then I know my dad, he's like, because my dad had like rewards too, because he was doing it with my other dog. So he was like, if you're not going to give me the treat, I'm going to go somewhere else and get it. So I've been trying to work with that, and then having like my parents like continue the training.
Yeah.
Because I tell them like, you know, you still gotta have him do these certain things.
Yeah. So that again, like, goes back to keeping the dog on the leash and keeping it simple. So what you're doing is you're even, again, like when you're inside and you're off leash, you're still at an advanced level, because you're basically like, I'm going to leave you in the dust and walk away, and I want you to listen to me. So you better do it. Or I expect you to do it. I hope you do it. Whatever your expectation is. So you have to have like a good foundation for that. Like, you got to be able to put the dog in a sit. And if he gets, here's the problem. If you put a dog in a sit and you start backing up and he gets up and you just keep resetting him, he's not learning what he's doing is wrong. He's just like, why do we keep doing this? Like, why do you keep, like, you're walking away, I'm coming towards you, like, just give me the food. Like, he doesn't understand the mistake he's making, right? So you put him on a leash, you start with like your 4-foot leash, sit, you start backpedaling, and he starts to get up. Boom, you use your leash, pressure. Nope. So he'll go, oh, so the moment I get, that's the, right? So right now what you're doing is you
realize, okay.
Yeah. So you're putting him into a sit stay, basically, walking away in the other room or across the room. He's getting up and you're like, nope, nope, nope. And you storm back over and you put him back and he's like, what the, I don't know what you're doing, you know, because you're not catching him in the moment, right? So that's why, even to make that more advanced, put him in a sit next to you on leash, take a ball or a piece of food and throw it in front of you. Boop, he's going to go for it. Nope. Sit a sit. Back into a sit. And you'll watch. You can do that. You can strengthen your relationship and your sit stay in a day just by throwing a piece of motivation when you ask him to sit next to him on leash to catch him the moment he makes the mistake. But imagine if he got up, went over, got the ball or ate the food, and you bring him back. He has his cake and eat it too. He's like, not only am I not going to listen to you, but I'm still going to get what you're throwing.
Right.
It's like, what the hell? So that's why people fail, is they don't have the full circle of understanding of that, you know? So anyway.
Okay. So those are the things that like we definitely got to work on with him.
Yeah. That's the building blocks of the advanced stuff you want to do. So if you go outside and there's a kid, you know, pops out of nowhere or whatever, and you're like, oh shit, I didn't know this kid was out here. Dog come. Down. Stay. Like, I've done that a couple times with even my big meathead over here. He's the most protective breed that I've ever worked with. So like, naturally he's really postured up and suspicious of anybody that comes in our property. But like, I'll do that when the Amazon guy comes over, I'll put him in a down stay. And he's like, I want to go check this guy's ID. I'm like, too bad. You got to stay. And that's part of like being, it's the same thing with parenting, right? Like, kids like sees a piece of chocolate at 10 p.m. or whatever, right? Or they see, you know, a bottle of vodka on the table and they're like, I want it. You're like, you can't have that. Like, that's not for you. And they're like, and you know what I mean? It's part of being a dog owner is like part of being an adult or a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to lay down the rules so that way, when you say no, it's sustainable and scalable across everything. So he's like, yeah, but the little kid next door, it's like, no, 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 dude. I told you to downstay and you got to stay, right? And so he knows in the back of his head, like, oh. So right now, like, he's not getting any corrections or punishment when you tell him to do something and he doesn't. Same thing like you're working on with your dad the other day. You tell him to sit and stay, you walk across the room, he gets up. Worst case scenario is you go and you get next to him and you say, sit, and you do it again, and he's like... So there's no accountability. Even if he did know what you wanted him to do, and he's like, nah, I don't want to do this, and he gets up, you got no skin in the game because you can't hold him accountable, right? So your relationship and your base has no accountability. He's just walking on you. You know what I mean? And so again, like, the flip side to that of why he may be reactive or why he may be protective is right there. Right. So like, your dog loves you, you love your dog, but when you tell him to do something and he walks all over you and he's like, pfft, he's like, oh, you don't, I need to, it's like protecting your little sister. You're like, you can't handle this. Like you can't protect yourself, right? Like you're proving to me that you don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like it's every single time you tell your dog to do something and they flip you off, mm-hmm. you're basically telling them like, yeah, I don't really matter. And the dog's like, oh, I love you more than anything. And I don't think you know what you're doing. So therefore I'm insecure and I'm protective. Get out of here. Right. I see that all the time. Like if I have a dog that comes in that's super reactive, barking, lunging, snapping their teeth, and I take the dog and walk away and the dog goes, thank God. It's like, oh shit. Like, so you mean to tell me like you're only reactive with mom or dad, not with me. You don't, so it's not about me. It's about how you feel with your mom or dad. And a lot of people will ask me like, how does that start? That's how it starts. You're out there with your dog. You're like, hey man, sit. And he's like, okay. And then you walk away and he's like, I don't want to sit anymore. And he gets up and then you turn around and go, oh, right. He's like, oh, you're a pushover, ma. I don't need to listen to you. And then that will register in his head. Like you're not really the person that's in charge here. Right. So then when somebody comes up, right. Like in his mind, he's like, oh, the kid is a threat, you know? And you're like, hey, sit. And you're like, I don't listen to you in our living room, let alone outside with a kid that's threatening my family. Like, you got no shot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep, that's something, like, my dad. Because, like, usually he was really good at listening to my dad. But, like, with me, it's, like, very. So I know it's, like, a alpha type of thing. Yeah. So it's, like, he thinks, like, he's the alpha. But then if my dad is present, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I don't mess around with him. Like, but then it's like also to a certain sense because he's like, oh, I will listen to you, but to a certain extent. So that's where we're trying to like, because I'm not trying to take away his protectiveness and right. none of that. I just more of like controlling and, you know, leading and making sure like, you know, like everything's good.
Yeah. And you do that with... So if you were to ask me like, how do I create a healthier relationship? It's the basics, putting him on a leash and start teaching him like, I am going to teach you how to do these things, right? So again, you put him in a sit, you open up that door and he's like, I'm gone. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I just asked you to sit. Like, what am I, chopped liver? Right? You pull up to Disneyland and the kids get out of the car and run across the busy parking lot. You're like, what the hell? Do I not matter? It's like, no, you don't actually at all. They want to go see Mickey Mouse. So sit down, mom. It's like, that's not healthy or safe, right? So I want you to understand the picture here that if your dog won't sit down as you're exiting a doorway when you told him to sit, there's no chance you have to be successful when they feel a threat coming to your yard, even though you know it's not a threat, right? Even if it's just a kid. And he's like, oh, this is a fire alarm here. This is red zone. And you're like, sit. He's like, so you see what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing I was saying before of like easy task and hard task. It's like, you can't get him to sit and stay with nothing going on. There's no way you got a shot in telling him not to go after a kid because he feels like he's a threat in your yard. You got no shot, right? So that's a really easy way to audit and really look at like where you're at.
So would you say it's best when I do these training to do it like, I could do it like a one-to-one with him, or you think it's best that I have like, I do the training with like my dad being present since like he also gonna be around?
Yeah, it depends on, I mean, he could be present, but like if he's not doing it, it's not going to be helpful. It's not like osmosis where he watches you train. It's like if you wanted to go just look at people in the gym, you're like, oh, I feel good. You're like, no, you didn't, you know, you weren't on the Stairmaster, like you didn't do it. So yeah, it's good for your dad to learn, but like he's still got to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I think one of my, like, concerns is, like, I start training my dog and then he starts, like, listening to my commands. But then when it comes to, like, my parents, he won't do it. Because he won't do my command. So I'll also have to teach my dad to also continue the practice as well.
Yeah. It's because dogs are super opportunistic, too. They're like, all right, I can get away with stuff with this person, but not this person. And so, yeah, the whoever is handling the dog needs to, you know, put in that work.
All right.
Because it's not as, you know, it's not as easy as like there. It's a relationship, right? It's like, it's a relationship thing. And even though your dog loves your dad and your dad loves your dog, it's still like you have to put in the work to say, hey, here's my expectation. It'd be the same thing. Like, that's what we do with a boarding train. You're like, hey, here's my dog. We're professionals. So we're going to whoop your dog into shape really quick. They're going to go, oh, okay. You guys actually care about this, right? Like, I can't just blow you off and ignore you. It's like, no. And immediately, within like 2 days, the dogs are like looking real good with us, way better than their owners. And it's like, we didn't do much, but we did much different things. We held the dog accountable. We you know, laid the line. It's like a strict uncle. It's like, you know, it's like, why are they so strict and why do we listen to them so much? It's likely because like they'll call you out on your shit. They're like, no, I'm not gonna do this, right? Where you tell your dog to do something and it's optional. Yeah, maybe, you know. So yeah. Anyway. So yeah. So just anybody in your family that's going to be handling the dog really needs to build that on leash relationship. Technically, yes. If you train the dog to sit and stay, the dog should still sit and stay. But there's going to be times and moments where the dog is going to push it a little bit, and if you don't know what to do, the dog's like, ah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here's your homework. Here's the things that you should do. You should start off by working on your basics and your thresholds. So you need to, I know what you want to do, right? You want to advance and you want your dog to listen and not go after the kids and stop barking and all that stuff. But you have to start working on your relationship, which is going to be holding your dog accountable for basic things. So right now, if you tell your dog to sit and stay and there's something that pops in the room that your dog wants instead, he's gone, right? So you have to start working on this by putting your dog on the leash and start testing the dog's boundaries. So going up to the door, sit, opening the door, okay, break, and then you break the dog through, right? If he gets up, correction. You're like, no, dude, I just told you to sit. Like, what's going on here? Like, that's a slap in the face. He's like, yeah, I know. That's what I always do to you. You know, it's like, you got to change that. So you're working on two things. You're working on your relationship. When you say something, it matters. Or right now, if you say something, if it's beneficial to the dog, he'll do it. If it's not, he won't, right? A lot of people have that relationship. And then the second thing is just your basic obedience. So recall, coming back when called, going to their place or their bed. Staying, leave it. I have a course called the Kickstarter course, and it goes over all the basic stuff that I just talked about. It's literally made for dog owners like yourself who are just like lost in the sauce and they don't really know where to start or they need to start over. And that Kickstarter course will say, hey, here's the five things that your dog should know. And in conjunction with teaching these behaviors, we'll teach you how to like build a better relationship while you're doing it. So that's helpful. Okay. Whatever. I mean, that's where you need to start.
Is building the relationship with the dog.
Build the relationship, get a foundation. Because you're like, I don't want, if it comes out of your mouth as, I don't want my dog to do this, or in your head, it's like, okay, you better be prepared to do the work. Because you're not just going to stop a fish from swimming. You have to say, how am I going to change this? I already have a great relationship with my dog, so therefore, it's like, so anyway, yeah.
All right, I appreciate the input, and I'm definitely going to work on those things with my dogs. And then also, like, look.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.